I joined the board about Boulder about 8 months ago, and ever since then I've been working to help make the organization more accessible and visible to communities of color within the LGBTQ community. And so on Saturday, Marty, our executive director, who identifies as a white lesbian woman, emailed me or texted me and asked, I've been really trying to write a response on behalf of Out Boulder to the horrific events in Charlottesville, but I just keep trying and failing. Would you be willing to step up and say something? And I think, and I'll get to it in a little bit, I think this was a great example of a white ally really stepping back and saying, maybe it's not necessarily my place, even as the leader of this organization, since I identify as white, to issue a statement on behalf of us. So I thought about what would I say on behalf of Out Boulder County, and that seemed like a very big endeavor for one person who's just a small part of the organization. But what I did think about is, who is our audience right now? At Out Boulder, we've been doing a lot to make sure that we're reaching out to all members of the Out Boulder County community who identify as LGBTQ, and make our programming not only more inclusive, but led by people of color, trans folks. But I knew that in writing this blog response, our audience as it is right now is predominantly comprised of white trans folks and allies, and queer folks and allies. And so I wanted to make sure that I was leveraging my position of leadership as a board member to speak directly to those folks and ask them how they could join us in helping to make our community more inclusive by stepping up to be allies in this capacity.
So you outlined six different steps for how to be a better ally for people of color. Let's go through them. Step number one.
Step number one, to listen. I think so often you mentioned, Maeve, that the immediate response from a lot of folks, white people and people of color included, is to sort of just react, right? To share the words that are coming to us or the lack thereof. But I think the easiest thing to do sometimes is to react. And what I think that white folks in our communities really need to do is listen to how the people of color in their lives are reacting to this. So something I hear a lot of in this political era that we find ourselves in is a lot of white folks saying, I can't believe this is happening, or how is this the world we live in? And yes, things are very sensational right now. Things are very severe. But this is commonplace for a lot of communities of color, a lot of marginalized communities in general. But communities of color know that racism is alive and well, and it doesn't necessarily mean a pack of tiki torch wielding folks walking down the street. It's the subtle racism that's embedded in our institutional policies. It's a look of being suspected of shoplifting when you walk into a store. So for people of color, this isn't necessarily surprising. I think it's coming to an ugly head, but I think that listening to people of color in your lives who say, this isn't necessarily new, but now that you're paying attention, let me tell you about it.
Well, step number two you outline is speak up.
I have a very personal reaction to this step. So after I shared this blog post, my mom, so I identify as biracial. My mom is a white lady, lives in rural southern Illinois. And she has shared with me before that a lot of folks she is friends with, you know, have some more like political views that might not necessarily be in line with social justice and activism around inclusion and equity. And in the past, she said, you know, I don't want to necessarily burn bridges, so I don't speak up when I hear people justifying the acts in Charlottesville or saying people of color are just as responsible for it as the alt-right or whatever. And so my mom was like, after reading this post, was like, I'm just tired of tolerating it because I don't want to offend people. And so I'm not going to do that anymore. And I think it's in pushing into those areas of discomfort that real change can occur. Like, sure, you're going to have some people who in doing that are going to say, I don't need this sort of negativity in my life. I don't want to look at my privilege. I don't want to hear what you're saying. Racism isn't real. But then you're going to have those folks who are who react as, huh, I never considered that before. And maybe, just maybe, there's something here. And because you spoke up, someone in my immediate realm of influence, someone who cares about this, maybe I'll pay attention in the way that I wouldn't pay attention to the people of color in my life.
Well, step three that you recommend is stepping up.
Yes. And so this is pretty similar, I think, to speaking up, but kind of going beyond the Facebook activism that we're talking about, to actually making some real concrete changes in your daily lives. So if there are policies in your workplace that you feel or have come to realize are perhaps racist or embodying white supremacist ideology, which most of our institutions and organizations do to a certain extent, making sure you're putting yourself on the line to call that out, because usually there's not a whole lot of risk involved with that for people of color or for white folks to speak up for people of color on that behalf. But I think that this step of stepping up directly correlates or relates to the first step of listening. So making sure when you are speaking up and stepping up, you're maybe saying what the people of color in your life are guiding you to say, if they're willing to help guide that, so you're not maybe making a situation worse.
As part of this, you say, wield your white privilege honorably.
Honorably, yes. I thought about that just in terms of making sure that you realize the space that the white folks realize the space that they are able to take up. And sometimes, so often, I rely on the white folks in my life to step into spaces like that where I know I can't be as effective as they could be. But they always remind me that they're speaking with me and not for me.
Step four, step back, which seems counterintuitive to stepping up.
Right, right. And so the example I gave at the beginning of this post, Marty, our executive director about Boulder County, asking me as one of the few board members of color to issue a statement on behalf of about Boulder County instead of her. So realizing the position of power and privilege that she occupies as the executive director and as a white woman, to say, maybe even though I could very easily speak on behalf of this issue, I'm going to invite someone into this space who understands it in a different way than I can. And it's really interesting because I stepped up when Marty stepped back, but I'm realizing how much privilege I have in my position, right? So I live in economic stability. I belong to a racial minority group here in the U.S. that has never been enslaved and has always been welcome into this country without being banned based on my religion or my country of origin, right? So realizing that even though she asked me to step up in that way, there are ways in which I also need to step back in my life to be an ally to folks who experience marginalization in different ways than I do.
Step five, reconsider the term ally.
Right. I think the best way and the most succinct way someone explained this to me is ally is not a word that you can choose for yourself. It's something that has to be given to you. And so, you know, I think the most poignant cultural image that comes up for me is the I'm an ally pin, right, or button. And that's wonderful, right? You are aligning yourself with promoting the equity and inclusion of folks in your lives, typically LGBT, who need you to stand with us. But keeping in mind that you can't call yourself that on one occasion and then not constantly engage in the work that's required for our collective liberation.
I like how you put it, being an ally, it's a verb rather than a noun.
Yes, absolutely, an action. And I think alliances are something I spend a lot of time in my life thinking about. And ultimately, what it comes down to is it's a lot of work. It's a lot of realizing when you mess up really bad and making sure that you do that restorative work to make sure that you're still deserving of that term ally.
Well, number six, remember that QTPOC exist, queer and trans people of color. exist.
Yes. So we call ourselves cutie pox, which I just love. And I think, I mean, this is why I'm here as a board member out Boulder County. I live and work in Boulder County. I come from a rural area in Southern Illinois where I'd never had much access to other folks of color, let alone other queer people of color. And so it wasn't until reaching out to folks on in internet community capacity that I found community with other queer people of color and trans people of color. And I think this is because most folks, in terms of media representation, see the LGBTQ community as extremely white. And there's this assumption, I think, that there's a certain way to look queer or to look trans. And oftentimes, I feel that we're forced to choose between being either people of color or being part of the LGBTQ community. And for me, the work that's important to do here at Out Boulder County is to leverage that collective strength we have to show up for one another and to finally build these communities that maybe we haven't had access to in the past.